The top 25?
Radio analyst Hans Olsen breaks down what he's looking for from Bear Bachmeier and the Cougars against Portland State. And former BYU quarterback Tanner Mangum, who actually lives in Portland, is our week one guest picker in the return of Big 12 Pick'em.
He knows a thing or two about winning a big game as a true freshman. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, August 29th. This is how we do it. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man whose football cup runneth over, Jerem Jordan.
It's fun to just feel like, okay, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are the off days, but every other day now we're going to have football, which is awesome. So we had some games yesterday we'll talk about, Big 12 opponents playing, and as you mentioned, Boise State and whatnot. But game day eve is upon us, which means the countdown is down to the last day.
Countdown to the Vikings.
One day away.
No confetti cannons this go
nothing.
Around.
I think it's just Portland State, so we're not as juiced as maybe we would be. I don't know. We're all excited for the season. That much is clear. But we don't have anything to celebrate. There's no cougar tails walking in. There's no confetti.
Typically, you're
nothing.
Out of your chair running around the studio.
No.
You're more dialed in this year.
Well, I do have a volleyball match I'm calling in 2 hours, so my mind is there as well.
Sure.
So, yeah, I don't know. I got 3 matches before the football game tomorrow.
I'm not faulting us for not busting out the confetti cannons in the least. I called Portland State the Pilots last week, for crying out loud.
It's good that on game week you know the mascot of the team we're playing. But
it's the Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah. How Viking will they be? We'll find out tomorrow.
Yes. Not anticipating that invasion will be all that overwhelming.
Yeah. They're not bringing Ragnar Lothbrok. They're not with him. He's not coming.
On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
It is officially game week for BYU football.
I can't wait for game day.
This is the perfect first game for Bear Bachmeier.
Win the game.
BYU by a million.
Lawson.
Execute.
But we got to be on our game.
Pummel Portland State.
I want to get this over.
I only have a Saturday already.
BYU opens the season as a 44.5 point favorite against Portland State. 44.5 points. That's a huge number. Do the Cougars have to cover for all of you to feel okay? We're going to roll out a handful of different potential outcomes and hypothetical box scores, which we have not seen until now, and ask, is this a good enough result against Portland State? So,
all right.
Box score number one. Survey says, final score? It's a nice picture of Kalani, by the way.
Yes, it is.
41-13, Jerem. 41-13.
Okay.
28-point win by BYU.
Yeah.
BYU has 527 total yards, 231 for Portland State. So utter dominance when you look at that graphic. But nowhere close to covering the 44.5 points.
Not good enough.
That odds makers are saying.
Not good enough. You can't give up 13. You got to score in the 50s. You got to cover. Bear Bachmeier's numbers. 11-20, 196, 3 touchdowns, 60 rushing. That'd be fine. 11-20 is not great. We're talking about completion percentage being better. That wouldn't be good enough.
That's 55%.
That's not good enough.
55% from your true freshman quarterback.
That's
a 28-point win.
Mocked from last year. No,
again, the total yardage is good. 527 to 231.
Right. Not enough points for the yards.
Yeah. You haven't paid it off. Like, some things went wrong in the red zone, it would seem.
Typically, you get, 10 points for every 100 yards. So if you're going to get 527, give me 52.7 points, if you will. Does that make sense?
BYU 7-15 on third down in this hypothetical game. I don't mind that number.
So this was Southern Illinois. That's what happened last year.
Yes.
And I think we said last year, not good enough.
Okay.
Okay, next one.
Well played, production team, with the Southern Illinois tie.
56-3. That's more like it. Turnovers are even. 572 yards to 251. 2 turnovers each, though. Don't like that. Bear Bachmeier, 16 of 22, 260, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, 50 rush yards, 1 fumble. So I like the yardage there, Spence, but I don't like the interception and the fumble from Bear.
I'm guessing that the yards per play are flipped. It says 8 yards per play with Portland State.
All good.
If BYU is at 8 yards per play and they have 290 rush yards, 572, and win by 53,
That's nice. And then you focus on, hey, don't give it away so much.
I mean, 16 of 22, that's, I mean, anything that's close to 70%, Jerem, yeah. Sign me up.
This would be good enough. You don't like the giveaways, but this would be good enough. Was this a previous game as well, Colton, an FCS game? Idaho State, maybe?
Probably Idaho State. That seems like an Idaho State final score.
2011. I was going to say 2011. I remember that. Yeah, okay.
Bachmeier, that would be good enough. For 260 yards, four touchdowns, and a pick, yes.
And he goes 310 total low. It's pretty good.
Who would not be okay with that?
Aaron Roderick, because two giveaways.
That's you know the what one I mean? To be nitpicky.
Even, yes, to pick some nits, exactly.
All right.
Okay, what else?
Box score number three. We like that one.
56 is it good enough? 42-0. So you don't cover, but shutout.
You do what Tarleton State did to Portland State last week. You equal that 42-0.
Yes, you're plus two in margin. You do turn it over. You have a defensive touchdown. That's a fun note.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Bachmeier, 12 of 19, 172, two touchdowns, one pick, 30 yards, rushing, rush TD.
12 of 19 is only a hair over 60%.
Yeah.
I don't love that.
This is... close. This is. I mean, in score only, yes, it's fine. You don't cover, but it's a shutout, and it's a big margin.
Nobody in the pollster area is going to be thinking like, oh,
negatively.
Man,
yeah.
Only 42-0.
Right.
Like, so it wouldn't do damage to BYU's perception, but for us and on this show, we'd be like,
cover. Like, there's no reason BYU shouldn't put up 55.
I think Bear Bachmeier's better than 12 of 19 for 172 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I want more rush yards from BYU. 276 is really good, but against this team, Tarleton State ran for 300.
You want BYU to go 300-plus on the ground?
Yes. I want 96 against Utah.
What if BYU passes for 400-plus, Jeremy?
Why were they passing so much?
I don't know. I'm just saying, what if...
it's Portland State.
Would that be... like, if Portland State's pass defense, like, they're challenging BYU, and it's like, well, the Cougars... are looking at what the defense is giving away.
They
like,
will adjust and make Portland State run then. I promise you BYU is not going to pass the ton. I just feel it in my bones that BYU is going to run a bunch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to the final box. Would you be okay overall? Like 42 zip?
Yeah.
Like, you okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
I
Like I would like more. Is it good enough? Sure.
I'm not going to be
great?
That picky.
No.
Wasn't BYU only like a 14-point favorite against Southern Illinois last year, by the way, and they won by 28.
Yeah.
That was weird, right?
Yeah, it was.
That was weird.
I remember we talked about that.
55-10 is the final score of box score number four. 611 total yards for BYU to 185 great. From Portland State. There's your 300-plus rush yards, 330 yep. for BYU.
No giveaways.
38-0 at halftime.
Yeah. Don't like the 10 points, so that's a backups give up 10 points thing. You win by 45, so you do cover, very specific. Bear Bachmeier, 15 of 18, 237, two touchdowns, no picks, 20 rush yards. I would expect more rush yards from him, but the 237 is a nice
Jeremy,
number.
15 of 18
explosive.
Is 83% passing.
Yeah, this would be good enough. Yeah. Is it good enough?
Absolutely. I think that's the I think that's the best one. I think that's the best one right there.
I did like the 56-3. I did like that. because margin at the end of the day, if the margin's wide enough, you can figure some things out. Because the point is to score and not allow.
If you're up 38-0 at halftime.
But there are sort of means.
You've probably polled everybody by midway through the third quarter.
Sure.
And then you give up a garbage touchdown and it's 55-10.
Yeah. And there was a random field goal there.
So the halftime score is what I'm leaning into. Like that idea, yes.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that.
Okay. Do we have one more? One more?
Ooh.
Okay, bonus. That's 2017.
Get it off the screen!
No.
Get it off the screen!
Well, let's look at it for a sec.
Gross!
So you put Bears' numbers as Tanner Mangum's numbers, 16 and 27, 194, one touchdown? Okay. Yeah, that wouldn't be good enough. I remember specifically we were saying, well, it's just the first game.
No. Nope.
But it was a very keen indicator of how bad that year was going to be. We just didn't know it at the time. By the way, this is like the most neon green graphic we've ever put on the screen. It's like Seahawks green right there. More of a forest green, but I love the Seahawk green. You know, it's awesome.
16-27. Hey, we're going to have Tanner on the program.
Algernon
today.
Brown not walking through that door.
Yeah.
No one's running into the George Q. Cannon.
That was a tough lesson.
It up
that was a tough lesson on a miserably hot day at LaVille Edwards Stadium, too. It's like 100 degrees.
I think Lauren Frankman, he stroked Blaine, came down from the booth to do the post-game interview.
No, that whole day, it was just a microcosm of the entire season.
Yeah. All right, next topic. We're going to jump out in front of this so that you all know, and you probably have an idea of this, but what will be BYU football's Zach Wilson drove to California to train with John Beck storyline in 2025? What's it going to be?
It's that Bear Bachmeyer wears number 47 and he plays quarterback, but he was a linebacker and a fullback when he grew up.
Was it fullback?
I thought
it was just a running back. It was fullback?
Sorry, it could be running back slash fullback. He was bigger than everybody else that he was playing against.
He's too young to have been a fullback.
In Little League football.
He didn't have fullbacks, probably. Probably running back.
It has to be that. He wears number 47 because he likes physical contact.
Yeah, I like that.
Secondarily, the names that he and his brother Tiger share.
Okay, I just read Sean Walker's piece on KSL.com. Tiger's name is James. Tiger's a nickname.
But
does Bear is Bear a nickname or a first name? I don't know the answer to this.
Well, their little brother, his name is Buck, but he goes by Cougar.
So I think Bear might not actually be named Bear. I think it's a nickname. We have to find that out, though.
Yeah, that's some investigative reporting.
What's Hank's nickname? We haven't heard that one. Eagle. I want Eagle. I think, it's 47. I think that's the one. Jake Kretzloff transferring in July. True freshman. That's the story. That's the overplayed anecdote.
The expedited arrival of Bear Bachmeyer to BYU because of the Retzloff situation and then the number.
That's
and
fair,
the
but the
line.
Number will be the, we yes. know.
Number for all 47.
But they have to say it every game because you have new people watching.
His dad wanted him to have a number that exudes toughness. Like that, it's going to happen game in and game out.
Yeah.
Number 25, Boise State, did not exude anything close to toughness last night. They looked awful.
They did.
And lost big to South Florida, 34-7.
BYU would never to start a season.
ESPN's Matt Barry was then at the end of the game talking about South Florida as maybe the group of six team that can make a run.
Their quarterback's release is terrible. The ball points down when it gets to the receivers. He can't throw the rock very well.
That's how bad it was because Boise State was that team for a lot of people going into the season. Group of six representative in the college football playoff.
It still could be. It's game one. They still could be.
With a win for BYU, will the Cougars jump into the top 25? Because remember, they're one spot out in the AP poll.
They're 26th.
They're 26th. Boise State's number 20. They just got embarrassed. So if you beat Portland State and, let's say, cover or close to cover the 44.5-point spread, is BYU getting into the top 25?
No, because Portland State. Utah has UCLA and Baylor has Auburn. I think if Baylor beats Auburn and if they do it convincingly, that Baylor could be in the top 25. I think if Utah wins big, they could be in the top 25. I think BYU's getting leapfrogged. I don't think that a win automatically means they're in. But you could have – there's just not enough good games for the teams in the 20s, Spencer, for them to drop out and BYU to just kind of shuffle in there as an incumbent just as the first out. I think it's not likely that BYU is that team. I think it's more likely that if Utah or Baylor win, they hop BYU.
If BYU looks utterly dominant and they win 56-3, and it's just the offense is clicking, defense looks really good, and the game is overall very impressive.
No one's really going to watch this game. They're going to watch the other.
So you feel like there's
nothing. They're just going to look at the score.
Nothing, realistically speaking, that BYU can do to earn the number 25 spot.
Unless it's 83-0. Then you go, oh, that's crazy.
Unless Utah loses to UCLA and Baylor loses to Auburn.
But even then, there are other teams behind them. Like, what if Georgia Tech, who's sixth out, blows out Colorado? That could look better than BYU's win over Portland State, for example.
Okay. Interesting.
Obviously, I hope they are. That'd be great. That'd be fun.
You hope that a few more teams might slip up between 16 and 25 to drop out of the rankings.
There's not enough kind of juicy games where you
Tennessee's
think there will be
number 24.
Right, they're playing the Cuse.
But Tennessee's a 14-point favorite. Like, what are the teams going to lose? And some people are saying, well, Kansas State lost to Iowa State. They're going to flip-flop. Kansas State was number, 11 or 13?
17 and 22.
Yeah, or 17 and 22. That's right, right.
Yeah.
They're going to flip-flop. Sure. Kansas State should still be ranked. Like they didn't. It's not a bad loss.
No.
So I don't think that's enough to jump.
Kansas State hasn't lost any games inside the country this year.
So does it even count?
They're undefeated.
Does it even count?
Inside these United States of America.
Their only loss was international, so.
Asterisk. It's like the Lakers' COVID title. Asterisk. You heard me.
Our question of the day. We're talking about rankings because Boise State lost.
We're talking about rankings because bored with Portland State. That's why we're talking about ranks. If we were playing Stanford this week, it would be different.
You're not supposed to say that out loud, Jared. You're not supposed to say that out loud.
Say the weird thing. Have you seen that on Instagram, that one? Say the weird thing.
I have not seen that. Yeah. But I hope you do that again at some point. Do all of you think BYU will jump into the top 25 with a win over Portland State? Jerem says no. I think that if they're dominant enough, just maybe they could get that 25th spot. At Nickley 51 on X says,
Nick Lee.
I could see Utah or Baylor leapfrog BYU given the teams they play this weekend are higher quality than Portland State. I'm here for the BYU-Utah debate on who should be number 25 next week.
Yeah, that's a fun narrative right now.
Okay.
It's good.
At G. Jacobson on X says, as long as BYU covers the 44.5-point spread, they should be in easily.
No.
I don't think it's that simple.
Don't agree.
Weighing on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Hey, game day coverage. We got you covered tomorrow, 6 Eastern, BYU-SN game day, Cougar pregame live, live on BYU TV and BYU Radio. BYU versus Portland State, live on, of course, BYU Radio, ESPN Plus on that one, 8 Eastern time. And immediately after the game, post-game on both BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, BYU football radio analyst Hans Olsen joins the program to break down Portland State in detail. I'm kidding. He's not doing that. We're talking expectations for Barry Bachmeier. Stay with us.
Makes a spectacular catch. It is intercepted. What a catch. Busts a gap. LJ, 40, 30. Chased to his left. Brought down. Loss on the play. There is a way.
And there is a show. On game day eve, we are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan, and joining us now is the BYU football radio analyst that sits aside from the voice you just heard of Greg Wrubell. He is former BYU football star and NFL veteran Hans Olsen back on the program. Hans, how are you on game day eve, my friend?
Let's go! Let's go.
Yes,
finally
sir.
Got some football.
I know.
I'm
right?
Pumped. I'm excited. And I've been watching some football. I spent way too much time yesterday watching football. So really busy day of watching some Big 12 action. And Storsby. No!
Don't throw the ball!
Come on.
Why throw that pass? Oh, yeah. Tough one.
We need a field goal. Don't let Nebraska do this to you.
Tough one for Cincinnati. Yeah.
I notice I don't have any hair.
I know,
I ripped
right?
It all out.
You had a fro yesterday. That's crazy.
Yeah, I had a fro yesterday. I ripped it all out. But yeah.
Stress. It'll.
I'm
get
ready,
you.
Man. You guys know me. Full of energy, excited. I love the game, man. I live for the game, so cannot wait.
Let's go. Well, speaking of games yesterday, we were just discussing in the opening segment BYU's chances of getting into the top 25 if they can dominate against Portland State, because Boise State was embarrassed at South Florida and Boise State number 25. Hans, where do you fall on the spectrum of if BYU dominates and control things against Portland State, is it enough to get them into the top 25 to replace Boise State, or are they going to get leapfrogged by maybe Utah if they beat UCLA?
All the pollsters are going to be looking at is Bear Bachmeier. And they're just going to want to see completion percentages. They're going to want to see poise. They're going to want to see athleticism. And they'll just take a look at it and say, all right, can this freshman get you to 10, 11 wins? Can he replace a Jake Gretzlaff? And if he shows those signs, which he should against Portland State, if he shows those signs, I do think they'll bump into the top 25.
That would be exciting going into week two against Stanford. Meanwhile, BYU's got to take care of business, of course, against Portland State. So what's good enough? What is a win where, of course, you want a large win and to stay healthy, but what do you want to see from BYU in the opener?
Okay, well, let's start with play time. I'm expecting at least three quarters. So I want a full three quarters. With a veteran quarterback, I might go two quarters in the first drive of the second half against Portland State. But with a true freshman, I want to go three quarters, and I want to make it really clear to everybody, my offensive line, my running backs, everybody, we're going three quarters. with Bear Bachmeier. And then once we get through three quarters, then we'll take a look at where we're at, where we stand, and maybe it's a fourth quarter, or maybe we go McKay Hillstead in the fourth. But first and foremost, I go three quarters. Secondly, I want to see 28, maybe even 30 passing attempts from Bear Bachmeier.
Really?
I want to air it out. Yeah, air it out against Portland State and let him throw it and let him get comfortable with throwing it. Because if he makes mistakes against Portland State, you can clean those up. But you want him to start to feel fluid and comfortable and natural, and you want him to get those connections down against Portland State so you can feel comfortable going into that Stanford game. But I let him air it out. I give him three quarters of throwing the ball. And then, you know, I think the pollsters just want to see a nice percentage. I don't know exactly what that percentage is. You know, maybe 68% completions against Portland State and maybe two passing touchdowns and just showing poise and comfortability. I do think that there's some other teams that are right behind BYU in the 26 through 40 that are playing some better teams. And if they dominate some of those better teams, they might jump BYU for the top 25. But if the pollsters see Bear Bachmeier look smooth and comfortable, I don't know how they can't move BYU into the top 25.
Hans Olsen, BYU football radio analyst and a host for KSL Sports Zone, is on BYU Sports Nation. I'm going to throw out a score, just a random number for BYU and one for Portland State, and you tell me if it's good enough, Hans. Like, if this would resonate with you as like, okay, that's a good enough performance. 51-7, because right now BYU is a 44.5-point favorite. So 51-7 would not even cover, but would you be okay with that final score?
I'd be very much okay with that final score. 1,000% I would. Just some of the scores from the Big 12 last night. You know, Houston didn't do what I thought Houston would do. I thought Houston would have a much more dominating performance. Oklahoma State beat UT Martin 27-7. UCF beat Jacksonville State 17-10. You know, and I know, like, okay, so you got Jacksonville State, you got UT Martin. Houston beat Stephen F. Austin 27-0, I think it was. So I don't put like these big gaudy scores on these FCS teams, even with Portland State losing to Tarleton 42-0 or whatever it is. And by the way, I've been watching that film all morning, guys. If you want to get into some Portland State film and some talk with Portland State, we can do that.
Not really, Hans.
Yeah. If you want me to start to break down Gabe Downing's performance against Tarleton or Tyrese Smith, it was crazy the way they rotated their quarterback. So yeah. Gabe Downing took the first snap. Tyrese Smith took the second snap. Gabe Downing took the third snap. It was a three and out, and they're changing out their entire offense. It's just ridiculous. But 51 points? Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Tarleton actually had a touchdown that was taken back off of an ineligible receiver downfield. And so it would have been more than that. Tarleton just beat him up on the ground. But I never take that into consideration. I just go game to game, and I'm looking for fluid motions, and I'm not – 50, anything in the 50s would be extremely acceptable, in my opinion.
You've talked about what you want to see from Bear. Who else needs to stick out for BYU? And how much can you prove in a game like this? Because it feels like, to me, there's not a lot. You should win this handily, and you hope to be healthy, and you move on.
Well, I'd really like Sione Moa to stick out. And, you know, I'll rush L.J. Martin, but I'm going to be probably a little more conservative with L.J. than I am with Bear Bachmeier. I'm going to really roll Bear Bachmeier out and get him a lot of reps. But I'd love to see Sione Moa stick out. I think people need to see how good Sione is. I also think the pollsters would like to see how good Sione Moa is, because he is solid. So I really want to see him stick out. I want to see JoJo Phillips have nice connection with Bear Bachmeier, because I know that you guys were out there for the media observation opportunities that we got with some of camp. I was as well, and you saw Bear had a really nice natural connection with JoJo Phillips. He looked him up a lot in those observation periods. So I want to see JoJo Phillips look really fluid. And then I want to see the in-game connection between Bear Bachmeyer and Carson Ryan. Because I've got Carson Ryan potentially as your second leading in reception and second leading potentially in yards, even though I think JoJo will probably lead in yards or second in yards and Carson Ryan second in receptions and third in yards. And then Chase Roberts, I've got him first in reception and first in yards. So that's okay to me. Like Chase, you don't even need to play Chase, in my opinion. You don't need to play Chase. You don't really need to play Parker Kingston. I know what to expect from those guys. I want to see the connection with JoJo Phillips, Carson Ryan, and then I'd really like to see some connection with Tiger Bachmeyer. You know, the Bear to Tiger, brother to brother thing can be pretty valuable and pretty unique, and I want to see that happen for this offense. So that's just the offensive perspective. Got a lot of things that I want to see defensively, but that's what I'm looking at offensively.
Let's talk about that defense and circle in on one of the more questionable position groups, which is the defensive ends. And the whole defensive line has an overturned hands, but looking at the edges, I'm not really sure what to expect from Viliami Poha. And we know about Logan Lutui, but how do you feel about the defensive end specifically on that BYU front?
Well, there's so many different talent, Spencer, that I can do so many different things with. And Jay Hill has alluded to it in some of his media availability, where they feel like they've got some positionless football with Ephraim Asiata and Isaiah Glasker and Tasilia Kana and Jack Kelly and Viliami Poha and Hunter Clegg and Bodie Schoonover. You know, when I'm going through those names, people need to understand that those are all versatile athletes. Those aren't pigeonholed athletes. This isn't 1990s football where I've got four down linemen that are big and three linebackers that are medium, big, and fast, and corners that are extremely fast, and then two slender safeties that can cover ground. Like, that would be like talking about Jerry Sloan's basketball team, where I've got a center, a power forward, a small forward, where I've got a point and a shooting.
Give me Greg Ostertag, Hance.
It's just not, that's not how football is, and that's not how Jay Hill runs football, and that isn't what this defense is. So, to answer your question, the way you take care of what your concerns are, Spencer, is I run Keanu Tanivasa on a plus minus. I have a solid Logan Lutui or a solid Bodie Schoonover, and then I use a Glasker or a Jack Kelly or an Asiata or a Viliami Poha or a Tasilia Kane. I use those guys in different ways up off the edge to control gaps, to get pressure, and to be unpredictable. And then I can also run a lot of different stunts and movements off of them with, you know, whether I'm trying to run something with Che Bryan Strother or I'm getting Cialia Serra involved or however I want to maneuver my defensive fronts and my linebackers to make it really difficult for offensive linemen to gauge who's coming where and what exactly this front is. So there's so much potential. I don't want people to get caught into the old thought of, well, you just got to have the defensive ends, the two defensive ends, and you got to have the two defensive tackles. That won't be Jay Hill's defense this year. It'll be more what we saw against Colorado. And if you guys remember that defense against Colorado, you were using Blake Mangelson in a three technique, yes, and Blake in a one technique, and you were using Tyler Batty as a D tackle, and then you were going four downs with Tyler Batty and Joshua Singh and Blake Mangelson. And it was such a mix, and Colorado couldn't figure it out. So that's what I expect more of this season from this BYU defense.
We can't wait to see that hybrid Jay Hill defense go to work against Portland State, yep, and against all 12 regular season opponents. Hance, you've brought the juice once again. We appreciate the time, my friend.
Gosh, I thought I was settling in for 45 minutes here, boys. I miss our talks. So, look, you want to keep going? I'll keep going.
Let's go, brother. Hey, enjoy some barbecue at some point, maybe tonight, tomorrow afternoon, and we'll settle in and talk football, at least you will, on the radio for 5-6 hours. So save that voice a little bit.
It's game day, boys. Hey, how the heck do you guys keep looking so young? Like, do you ever age?
We're vampires.
Stop. I want your secrets.
Oh, we love you, brother. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Hans.
See you guys.
Hans Olsen on BYU Sports Nation.
Also, we're getting old, let's be honest. We don't look as young as we used to.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Number 11 women's soccer taking on Auburn tonight. Hey, big game at Southfield, 9 Eastern on ESPN+. BYU fresh off big win against UCLA, top 5 win last week. Auburn in town tonight.
They just need to beat Auburn, and then if BYU jumps up a spot, could have a top 10 showdown against Arkansas.
That's a big one
on Tuesday. Yeah. After the break, a loaded weekend of Big 12 football awaits. Ranked BYU teams in action. Plus, which freshman was named a preseason All-American? Stay with us.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It feels like the right time for your Friday headlines.
BYU football one day away. We got a game day tomorrow. Come on, baby. Portland State in the house. Currently BYU, a 44.5-point favorite. Pre-game coverage, 6 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Kickoff at 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
On the Big 12 scoreboard yesterday, Nebraska beat Cincinnati 20-17. Crazy finish in the last minute. Brendan Sorsby throws an interception with the Bearcats in field goal range. Tough result. UCF survives Jacksonville State 17-10. They needed a last-minute touchdown to win that game. The Knights were down 10-3 in the fourth quarter. Houston blanks Sam Houston State 27-0. Oklahoma State beats UT Martin 27-7, but the Cowboys lose their starting quarterback to a broken foot.
Bummer. Big 12 scoreboard tonight. Auburn at Baylor. That's a fun one. Georgia Tech at Colorado. And then, of course, Wagner, home of one Quincy Lewis previously, at Kansas.
Games to watch in the Big 12. Utah at UCLA. Northern Arizona visits number 11 Arizona State. Robert Morris, old Bobby Morris, at West Virginia. South Dakota visits number 22 Iowa State after the Cyclones beat Kansas State in Ireland. Speaking of the Wildcats, they will host North Dakota. Arkansas Pine Bluff visits number 23 Texas Tech, and Hawaii will play at Arizona.
Number 11 BYU Women's Soccer continues its 5-game homestand tonight, hosting Auburn, Southfield, 9 Eastern on ESPN+. Another big one.
19th-ranked BYU Women's Volleyball opens the season this weekend. 3 matches. Jerem Jordan on the call for all 3 at the Smithfield House beginning today. 2 Eastern against Fairleigh Dickinson University. BYU will also play Central Michigan tonight at 9 Eastern and High Point tomorrow at 6 Eastern. Just in time for Jerem to call that sweep, we hope, and get over to watch BYU football against Portland State. Again, all 3 matches on ESPN+.
Tucanos will be calling my name. Incoming freshman Kihei Akina was named to Golf Week's 25-26 preseason All-American third team on Thursday. He's the only freshman on the preseason All-American list. How about that?
Still to come on the show, it's the return of Big 12 Pick'em. And our first celebrity guest picker is BYU quarterback Tanner Mangum, who had the most epic first start as a true freshman in BYU history. Plus, what's his advice for Bear Bachmeyer before his first start as BYUSN?
To rally around the true freshman Tanner Mangum, his first appearance in a BYU game. Mangum, all kinds of time. Steps into the throw, in the wind, down to the goal line, and caught! Touchdown, BYU!
Hey, Nat, I felt something there that I didn't feel off the top of the show thinking about Portland State.
An all-time
now
moment.
I'm feeling it, yeah.
One of the great calls.
Oh.
Of all time,
Sean McDonough.
Sean McDonough too.
Down to the goal line. He creates anticipation
into
with
the
his
win.
Voice. Yeah, we study these things. Just play by.
My goodness. Yeah. That's the proper introduction for
Beautiful.
Our celebrity guest picker. As we welcome you back to BYU Sports Nation, we spoke with Tanner Mangum yesterday. He lives in Portland. He obviously produced that Hail Mary and then followed it up with another Hail Mary against Boise State in his first start as a true freshman. So we thought, why not talk to that guy before Bear Bachmeyer makes his first start against Portland State? Here's our conversation with Tanner Mangum. Tanner, you are a man who knows what it's like to deal with the pressure of being a true freshman starting quarterback with the additional spotlight and then delivering one of the most memorable plays in BYU football history. So what advice would you give to Bear Bachmeyer when you've done what you've done for BYU?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you guys again. And it's actually wild to think about that was 10 years ago. The 10-year anniversary of that 2015 season, which obviously had a lot of life-changing memories and just great moments. So it can't believe it's already been 10 years. So I guess first piece of advice is to, you know, not take advice from people who haven't been there in a decade. Things have changed. Things are a lot different. And I'm pumped for Bear. I think it's an incredible opportunity for him. He seems like he has a great head on his shoulders, super smart, obviously very talented, has the trust of his coaches and his teammates. And now all he has to do is just go out and be himself.
It's almost unfair what you got thrown into. At Nebraska, suddenly you're trying to come from behind. You throw the Hail Mary. Boise State's ranked 20th. UCLA is ranked 10th in the Rose Bowl. And then you're at Michigan. That was the first three starts for you, plus the sub in, which is crazy. And then with Portland State, knowing Portland, there are more BYU fans in Portland that care about this game than there are Portland State fans that exist. You live in Portland. No one's talking about this game probably, right? It's just BYU fans who are paying attention?
Yeah, just BYU fans for sure. But to your point, those first four games, Boise State, or Nebraska, Boise State, UCLA, Michigan was quite the gamut to be thrown into. And I think it's obviously a different situation this year when looking at the schedule. But I think more than anything, it almost was a trial by fire, and it almost was it's the best way to learn. Just like with anything, whether it's learning a new language, starting a new job, or playing college football, the best teacher is experience. And as a true freshman, you're obviously lacking that experience. And so the more experience you get, the more confidence you build. And I think that's what happened with me in that 2015 season, and having such a solid team around me, like such amazing leadership, such amazing an amazing, you know, skill group around me, and defense and coaching staff really helped me, you know, feel confident. And I think Bear has that as well.
Tanner, let's, before we transition into the Big 12 Pick'em segment, just get your general thoughts on expectations for BYU football this year and give you some backdrop in that odds makers are largely saying BYU is a 6 to maybe 7-win team. The over-under set at 6.5. But ESPN's Football Power Index says BYU and their schedule should produce 8.7 wins. So where do you kind of fall in that expectation win-loss category for BYU this season?
I'm more confident. I'm more on the 7-8 win side. And I think, going back to what I said before, it comes back to continuity, comes back to consistency and confidence. Anytime you have to switch a quarterback this late into the offseason, never ideal. But because of the pieces that are in place around him, I think that there's more than enough talent, more than enough leadership, more than enough experience to get over that 6-win hump, to get into a bowl game, to get 7 or 8.
All right, brother, let's make some picks. Let's start game number one. This is a Arrowhead Stadium situation in Kansas City, Cincinnati out of the Big 12 against Nebraska out of the Big 10. Who are you taking in game number one?
I'm really interested to see what Matt Rhule does in year three with Nebraska. The past teams that he's coached at Temple and Baylor have really taken off in year three. He has talent. Bill Nyola, the quarterback, has shown a lot of potential. So I'm really curious to see how they really take off this year. And I'm going to go with Nebraska. Although Cincinnati, Brendan Sorsby, quarterback, is talented as well. But I'm taking Nebraska at Arrowhead.
Give me Cincinnati to take down Nebraska. This is a battle of two teams who are very mid their respective conferences, but Brendan Sorsby and the Bearcats get it done at Arrowhead.
Wow. Okay, I am going to side with Tanner here. The year three of Matt Rhule has swayed the decision, and I think the Cornhuskers figure it out. They always win a big game early in the season. Everyone thinks Nebraska's back, and that's not usually the case, but they're going to beat Cincinnati, and that rhetoric will exist at least after week one. All right, on to game number two. Love this showdown. Big 12 versus SEC. Baylor at home in Waco, trying to get it done against the conference where it just matters more. So, Tanner, who do you have here? You taking the Big 12, or is Auburn going to get it done for the SEC?
Go Big 12, Baylor at home. I know that Auburn, has their new transfer quarterback Jackson Arnold, really talented. But I'm going to go with Big 12, Baylor at home.
Baptists at our barbecue again. Baylor beats Auburn. Hugh Freeze is not coaching in a hospital bed in this one.
I like Baylor at home. I'm a huge believer in Sawyer Robertson. Saw him firsthand in Waco last year. Thought outside of a couple of early giveaways by that Bears team against BYU, he was fantastic. They got better as the season progressed. Sawyer Robertson and Baylor get it done against Nebraska. Okay, on to game number three. Interesting here because Coach Prime doesn't have his two sons or the Heisman Trophy winner Travis Hunter. They host a Georgia Tech team that comes in as a little bit of a favorite in Boulder. So Tanner, who are you going with here?
I'm going with Georgia Tech. Colorado, I'm really interested to see how they evolve identity-wise now that they've lost Travis Hunter, they've lost Shador. Obviously, you have a lot of eyeballs on that Colorado program, and I'm happy to see that Coach Prime is healthy, and I'm picking them on the road going into Colorado and spoiling the opener for Coach Prime this season.
Give me the rambling wreck. Haynes King, quarterback run game, outplays Caden Salter in his first start. Speaking of Caden Salter, the former quarterback for Hugh Freeze at Liberty.
You guys, I just don't believe in Colorado's defense, and maybe this is Alamo Bowl hangover. I think Georgia Tech is too disciplined, too well coached. They have enough maturity and returning experience to go on the road and beat Colorado. On to game number four. Oh, boy. Little rivalry impact here. The team up north travels to UCLA for an old Pac-12 showdown. Tanner, who are you taking here?
Utah. I am really excited to watch Coach Beck do his thing with the Utes. And not just Coach Beck, but Coy Detmer, Micah Simon, Mark Yatuaya, a lot of former teammates and friends and coaches there. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do. And I like them after dark going into the Rose Bowl, and I'm picking the Utes.
What if Nico Iamaliava goes off, the Tennessee transfer, who basically opted out?
Yeah.
I don't know, Utah defense really good. I feel you. I hope this is a 2-0 win for Utah. I don't want the offense to be good. I love those guys. I hope Utah stinks on offense this year. Utah is going to beat UCLA.
Give me the 8 clap, gentlemen. Let's mix this up. Go Bruins. Most overrated team in college football for the last 30 years, but I'm buying game one to beat Utah at home. Okay, game five. Following a win over Stanford on the islands, Hawaii travels to Arizona to take on the Wildcats, their first road game. Tanner, are you choosing the Big 12 here or the Islanders and the Mountain West?
As much as I love Hawaii, I just don't think they have enough to beat Noah Fifita and the Arizona Wildcats offense, who threw the ball a ton last year.
Yeah, Arizona wins. Tanner, you know what it's like to go there and win too. 2018 opener, the Matt Boatman game. No Tetteroa, McMillan, no problem for the Wildcats.
There's no way Hawaii wins this game. Yeah, I look, I'm with you. I love Hawaii, love the Rainbow Warriors. Watched them play last week, watched them sneak past Stanford on their home field. They do not have the talent currently to compete with Arizona on the road. All three of us for Arizona. Okay, game six, Monday Night Football, College Football Edition. TCU and quarterback Josh Hoover travel to Chapel Hill for Bill Belichick's collegiate coaching debut with North Carolina. Is it Belichick or is it the Big 12 and TCU, Tanner?
I think TCU is going into Chapel Hill and spoiling Coach Belichick's debut. Because at the end of the day, you can be a legendary coach, and he obviously is one of the greatest coaches of all time, but it takes players on the field doing their job. And I think TCU has a little bit more experience, a little more continuity, a lot of change on UNC's roster. And I think they're going to need some time to figure things out. So TCU in this one.
TCU, give me all the private Christian universities in the Big 12. How many cutaways for Jordan Hudson? Over, under, 2.5?
Over.
Over?
Actually, under. Under. I think they might play it safe.
For Andrew Luck, the line's like 7.5, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, just face of the program.
Listen, on a week that Bill Belichick's company filed for a copyright of the term gold digger, I'm not buying the gold of North Carolina football right now.
Fool's gold.
Fool's gold. Okay. Finally, last but not least, BYU and Portland State. We know BYU will win this game. Just show up. They're going to win the game, and they'll win handily. So instead of picking the winner, we're choosing on the line right now. Who covers? Is it BYU, which I've seen the line float from anywhere from 43 to 44, Tanner, right now. Is BYU going to cover, or will Portland State be within that mark?
BYU is going to win, I think, by 50-plus. And I think it wouldn't surprise me if they pitch a 50-point shutout. Honestly, I'll go 56-0.
Yeah, give me something very similar to Tanner. I'll go 55-0. That way, if it's anything under 56, I pull the $1 prices right
there. There you go.
So you cannot say 54-0. Otherwise, you wedge me in there.
All I know is Portland State better not score more than 3 points. Come on! Like, we'll give them 3, maybe. That's it. But I think BYU's in the 50s here. Yes, the Cougars cover and get it done. Great stuff, my friend, and good to reconnect with you on BYUSN. All the best to you and your family, your growing family, your cute kids, and your wife, Sydney. And, yeah, thanks for spending some time with us, man.
Thanks, Tanner / Tyler.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Really, really appreciate being back here, and good to see you all.
Old Tyler Magnum.
Tyler Magnum, one of the greatest players in BYU football.
Was that the San Jose State game? Was that when that happened?
I feel like it was almost every game. He would just transform into Tyler Magnum.
Oh, graphics matter. We should note that Nebraska-Cincinnati, which we picked on yesterday before the game happened, now has a result, and I'm
0-for-1.
It was close, though. Soresby connects on that touchdown pass, and you're gloating about the win.
Horseshoes and hand grenades. That's it.
Yep.
Hey, women's volleyball, they have 3 matches in the next 30 hours. Let's go. ESPN Plus, Fairleigh Dickinson coming up 2 Eastern tonight, Central Michigan as well, 9 Eastern tomorrow, 6 Eastern. All of this before the football game, number 19 women's volleyball in action.
The Knights of Fairleigh Dickinson, right?
That's correct.
Let's go. Correct. When we return, more responses to our question of the day. Do you believe BYU will jump into the top 25 with a win this weekend?
No.
One spot out, but Utah and Baylor loom with big name opponents on their schedules. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Number 25, Boise State loses to South Florida big yesterday.
Oh, look at the stadium, Spence. Let's go, baby.
So do you think if BYU wins in that stadium on your television screens tomorrow that they jump into the top 25? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. This from @o.dickerson11 on Instagram, who says, no, Utah, Baylor, Auburn, and Georgia Tech all have bigger games. 3-0 after East Carolina is a yes to be in the top 25.
Yeah, maybe after Stanford. We'll see.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
The return of Cougar football, baby. Game day tomorrow. Women's volleyball coming up. in an hour.
Our thanks to today's guests, Hans Olsen and Tanner Mangum.
Sorry to Dennis Pitt, we ran out of time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. A final shout out to Jaron Dabney. We'll see you this afternoon for volleyball on ESPN Plus, as Jerem said, and tomorrow for BYU Sports Station Game Day at 6 Eastern. It's Football Eve! Go Cougs!
And soccer tonight!